إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second follow-up session. Yani follow-up to Minhaj Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal. The last chapter of that book being the chapter related to Al-Iman. And as I mentioned at that time, the Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen had summarized his previous summary of this topic of Iman. So because of it was, yani because of the fact that it was a summary and yani only the foundation points were mentioned, I thought it would be any of great benefit that we look a little further at what he has said in other places in order to expand on this very, very important topic of Al-Iman. So last week, alhamdulillah, yani the Shaykh, he summarized Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's writing, which is known as Al-Hamawiyyah. He summarized that entire work, and the last chapter of it also was related to Iman. So what we are reading tonight and what we're going to be reading in the next couple of sessions is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen's summary, his summary of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote concerning Iman in Hamawiyyah. And the reason why I say, yani, what we read in Al-Manhaj, it was the summary of the summary, because that was the summary of this summary that we're reading now, which if you read what the Shaykh has written in Al-Aqeedah Al-Wasatiyah, you will see that what he wrote in Hamawiyyah is the summary of what is in Wasatiyah. So I definitely advise and encourage everyone to go, yani, to other sources, and there are a lot of writings concerning the matter of Iman from the earlier scholars as well as from contemporary scholars of great benefit. I encourage you to go back and read from other sources as much as you can about this important topic. Okay, for tonight, inshallah, before we go into the second chapter of this topic of Iman from Hamawiyyah, or the Shaykh's summary of Hamawiyyah, yani Fath Rabb al-Bariyyah bi-Talkhis al-Hamawiyyah, the final chapter concerning Iman, before we look at the second part of that topic, we're going to go back and review some of the points that we took last week in the first session from the questionnaire study guide, follow-up lecture number one. First question being mentioned, the linguistic and technical Sharia definitions of Al-Islam. The linguistic and the technical, yani Sharia meaning of Al-Islam. Abu Bakr. Linguistic meaning first. Al inqiyad. Surrender. Naam. Compliance. Submission. Naam. Obedience. Yani inqiyad. The linguistic definition of Islam, he said, is inqiyad. Yani for a person to surrender, to submit, to comply, to obey. Naam.
Shar'an. Al istislam al abd lillahi zahiran wa batina. Outward, inwardly, and outwardly.
By bifi'li awamirihi واجتنابي نواهيه. نعم يعني استسلام العبد يعني مضاف إليه, استسلام العبد لله ظاهرا وباطنا بفعل أوامره واجتناب نواهيه. يعني this technical definition is actually يعني composed of several parts. So the first part of the technical definition is that Islam means استسلام العبد, يعني the surrender of the servant, the worshipper of Allah, his surrender to Allah, يعني ظاهرا وباطنا, outwardly, نعم, outwardly and inwardly. And these words here, outwardly and inwardly, is very important, because sometimes when we think about Islam, especially if we compare it, if we mention them together with Iman, then we think about outward actions. But the general definition, yani technical definition of Islam, yani is the whole of the deen of Islam, including that which is done inwardly and that which is done outwardly. And this submission, this compliance, this surrender is by doing those things that Allah has commanded, by fulfilling His commands and by avoiding His prohibitions. Naam. So this is the definition that we need to reflect upon, and we need to yani look at ourselves and make sure that we are yani in compliance with this. Naam. Naam. And he said that this encompasses, includes the whole of the deen, the whole of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. The second question, memorize an ayat of the Quran. Yani the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned, the third surah, 19th ayat, as well as the 85th ayat from the third surah, and the fifth surah, third ayat. Any one of those ayats that the Shaykh mentioned, yani in reference to what? That proves that Islam includes the entire deen of Allah. One of them. Naam, Mustafa. وَمَنْ يَبْدَغْ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Naam. Somebody give me the meaning of this. What is it? Not Mustafa, somebody else. Naam.
Whoever desires, whoever desire and deem this choose beside Islam, who in akhirati in him, so in the year of
فلا يقبل منه,
he will not be accepted
from him.
And who in akhirati will be the loser in the year.
And he will be a loser in the hereafter. Naam. And whoever desires, whoever seeks a deen, yani other than Islam as their deen, it would never be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be of the losers. Any other ayat? Somebody else, another ayat that the Shaykh mentioned. Naam. Naam. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am pleased, yani, meaning I have chosen Islam for you as your deen. And Allah says He has chosen Islam as your deen. So Islam is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other ayat? Somebody else. Naam, help me. Yeah, Ibrahim. Inna ad-deen 'inda Allahi al-Islam. Indeed, the deen with Allah is Islam. And these ayahs are crystal clear in proving the point that Islam is the whole of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, question number 3, mention the linguistic and technical, yani sharia, definitions of al-Iman. The linguistic and the technical definitions of al-Iman. Naam. Who gave me the linguistic meaning before? You gave me the first one?
No.
Fadl.
Al-Iman, ma'nahu al-lugha, al-tasdiq.
Naam. Iman, linguistically, in the language, its meaning is al-tasdiq. Yani from saddaqa, yusaddiqu. Tasdiq. Meaning? Meaning?
Iqrar al-qalb.
No. No, I mean, what is the translation of tasdiq?
To testify.
Yani to affirm, to testify, yani to confirm something as being true. Yani as being sidq, as being truth. Naam. The technical meaning, naam. Sharia meaning.
Al iqrar al qalb
or iqrar al qalb. Yani mudaf mudaf ilayh. Again.
Wal
amal. Naam, this part of the definition that he gave, he said that it is the iqrar of the qalb, yani the
conviction,
the affirmation, the conviction of the heart, المستلزم that necessitates, that requires speech and action. So therefore, he said that it is what? هو اعتقاد وقول وعمل. So there are three components here. He mentioned that it is conviction, and it is speech, and it is action. Specifically, he said, it is the conviction of the heart, the speech on the tongue, وعمل القلب والجواري, and the action of the heart and the limbs of the body. Naam. And this is also very, very important, as we will see today, inshallah, when we talk about a little bit more detail concerning Iman. That is, we said that these are the three components of Iman that the Ahlul Sunnah يعني, emphasize. That it's not only conviction in the heart, that somebody believes something, but it also it necessitates speech that's in accordance with that, what you believe in, and action that is in compliance with it. But further than that, we said that يعني, the Shaykh mentioned in Minhaj that Iman, it also has the potential to increase and decrease. And today, inshallah, we're going to talk about that in detail, okay? As well as the fact that يعني, the Iman of the people is not all the same. It's not equal, but rather some excel others and surpass others in the level of their Iman. Fourth question, memorize the statement from the Hadith of Jibril alayhi salam, which proves that conviction in the heart is a part of Iman. The Hadith of Jibril, the famous Hadith of Jibril, when he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked, what is Islam, what is Iman, what is Ihsan? Now, what is the part of this hadith that proves يعني, the point of Iman being conviction in the heart now? يعني that the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith where he asked him, what is Iman? He said, it is that you believe in Allah and in the angels and the books and the last day and the divine decree, the good of it and the evil of it. This is a proof what? That Iman, one aspect of Iman is يعني, conviction in the heart. Question number 5. Memorize the hadith which proves that Iman includes speech of the tongue as well as actions of the limbs and the heart. Yani the hadith of the Prophet that the Shaykh mentioned, which proves that Iman includes yani speech on the tongue as well as actions, not just conviction in the heart. Naam. Naam. Allahu musta'an. Naam, fadhu.
Shu'batu.
Al-Iman.
Iman shu'batu.
Yani bid'un.
Bid'un wa sab'una shu'batu.
شعبتين تمييز نعم
وأعلاها لا قول لا إله إلا الله وأدناها الأذى
الإماطة
إماتة الأذى عن الطريق عن
والحياء
والحياء شعبة من الإيمان
شعبة من الإيمان نعم the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith he said that Iman is 70 some odd branches, 70 something branches. In the narration of Bukhari, it says 60. And in 60 or 70 some odd branches, the highest of it is the saying, La ilaha illallah, speech. And the lowest of it is imatatul adha anit tariq, removing something harmful from the road. That's action. And then he said in the end of the hadith, Wal hayau, yani which is from the actions of the heart, Wal hayau min al iman, shu'batun min al iman. And haya is also from the branches, the many aspects of Iman. This hadith is a clear indication that Iman includes speech as well as action, contrary to those who deviated from the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah and claim that it doesn't include action or it doesn't include speech or action. Naam. And these yani evidences should be memorized because yani this gives strength to the position of those who are upon the truth, that they bring evidence that they're not guessing at, but rather we know exactly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in an authentic hadith. Question number 6. When does al-Islam and al-Iman have the same meaning, and when do they each take on a different meaning? Mustafa.
So when Islam and Iman are mentioned by themselves?
When they are mentioned separately, when any one of them is mentioned separate from the other, يَنْفَرِ الْعَدُمَ الْآخَ نَعَمْ
they bear the same meaning.
Then they bear the same meaning, meaning the whole of the deen of Islam. If anybody mentions Islam by itself, it means the whole of Islam. Naam. And if a person mentions Iman by itself, it means the whole of Islam. Naam.
When they mention together, Islam as Islam
has its own meaning and Iman has its own meaning. يعني إذا اقترنا أحدهما يعني بالآخر, then they, in that case, when they are joined together, they are mentioned together, then each one takes on يعني its own meaning. And this is very important to understand, because sometimes we read some texts in the Quran or in the Sunnah that mention Islam or mention Iman, and we don't know. يعني sometimes we're not aware that sometimes يعني the meaning of Islam, what is intended by, is the whole of the deen. And sometimes it means يعني something more specific. يعني something more specific. And that's the next question. How is al-Islam defined when it takes on a different meaning from al-Iman? How is Islam يعني defined when it is mentioned along with Iman, so that it takes on, it's distinguished in its meaning from Iman? What is the definition then of al-Islam in this particular case? Fadl.
So Islam, in that state, it encompasses only what is outward.
Okay, in that case, it encompasses that which is outward. That which is outward. Naam. Anybody else want to add to that? Anything? Naam. Yani specifically, the Shaykh mentioned, yani the outward, yani istislam, yani al-zahir, the outward, which is actually speech on the tongue and actions of the limbs of the body. Which is specifically the speech on the tongue and the actions of the limbs of the body, not including that which is in the heart. It doesn't include that when they are mentioned together. When they are mentioned together. mention a delay or proof from the Quran. Yani specifically the Shaykh mentioned from Surah Hujurat 49, Surah 14th Ayah, which supports this differentiation of Islam from Al-Iman. Yani differentiation between Al-Islam and Iman. Naam. Surah Hujurat.
قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لا تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم.
ها؟
قل لم
تؤمنوا. No problem. No problem. Yani, the meaning of this ayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the Bedouin Arabs, some people, they came and they said, Amanna, we have believed. And Allah ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to them, Lam tu'minu, walakin kulu aslamna. But rather just say, you have surrendered. Yani outwardly, you have submitted, you have agreed, yani you have volunteered to comply with the commands of Allah. Why? Because Allah said, Lamma. Yani that Lamma here means what? Not that it didn't only, but didn't yet. Yani Iman has not yet entered into the heart. It hasn't yet entered. What is understood from that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that it will enter in time, but not yet. But not yet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayat, He is distinguishing the meaning of al-Islam from al-Iman. He's showing us that there is a situation in which al-Islam and al-Iman, they take on a different meaning. And if those people said, we have believed, Allah said, no. Just say you have submitted. That's Islam. Yani the outward compliance, as opposed to the Iman settling, becoming firmly established in the heart. That takes time. That didn't happen yet. And that's a lesson to all of us. Even if we are born in Muslim families, even if we have been Muslim a long time, maybe the Iman is not firmly established in our hearts. And the indication of that, yani, is important to recognize. What are the causes of yani strengthening Iman and the causes of weakening of Iman? And which we'll talk about next week, inshaAllah. But it's important to be able to recognize what is the level of your Iman, where are you at in reference to your Iman, so that yani you can work on trying to strengthen it and trying to increase it, to know what are the ways. Yani, you want to add to that something? Naam, he's saying that here, yani, this is yani the meaning here is that Islam, this meaning of Islam is something that occurs from the of Iman, that it occurs from the person who has yani complete and perfect Iman, as well as the one who has weak Iman. Yani this occurs from both of them. Naam. Naam.
Level
We're going to talk about that in the last part of this topic in detail. But I mean, the point is that if we know what is Iman, then a person can examine themselves and have some idea if they're honest. Okay, where, what is their level of Iman? Because Iman is not just something that you claim is in your heart. Rather, it's also speech on the tongue. So a person examines what kind of speech is on their tongue. Yani, what actions, what kind type of actions are coming forth from them? Yani, are they, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Fatir, are they from the sabiqun bil khayrat bi idhnillah, those who are foremost? Or they are from the muqtasid, yani the people who are just yani doing the bare minimum. Or they are zalimun li nafsi, yani those who are yani doing some obligatory duties and abandoning some and engaging in some haram things and so on like this. A person can know from their actions, from their speech, from their behavior, where they are in terms of their iman. The person who is in compliance with the commands of Allah, and they are avoiding the prohibitions of Allah, then that is a level of iman. But still there's beyond that, right? The mustahabbat and the makruhat is a person avoiding not only that which is haram, but also those things that are disliked by Allah, even if they're not haram. If they are fulfilling those things that are not obligatory, but they are loved by Allah, then that's another level of iman. Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Fatih, inshallah, we'll talk about that yani after. But the point is that, yes, a person has to look at yani the whole of the iman in their self. They look at their own behavior, and then it becomes clear. And a person knows that they're engaging in sin, they're constantly thinking about committing sins, they're doing things that are displeasing to Allah, they know that they don't have that kind of yani kamal iman. No, they know they don't have that. It's clear from our behavior. Unless a person is just deceiving himself. Allahu a'lam. Inshallah, we're going to talk about it in some detail and what comes yani after. In any case, here, question number nine. How is al-Iman defined when it takes on a different meaning from al-Islam? How is Iman defined in this case when they are mentioned together and it takes on a different meaning from al-Islam? Naam, Abu Bakr. So here, Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, he says that the Iman, when it is yani distinguished from Islam, then its meaning is al-istislam al-zahir, yani the, I mean al-batin, the inward yani surrender, yani that is from what's happening in the heart of the human being, the inward surrender, and that is the iqrar or the i'tiqad of the qalb wa amaluhu, yani the conviction of the heart and its actions. And we said last week that the actions of the heart are many. From amongst the most important of them is mahabba, love, yani loving Allah and loving the Messenger of Allah and loving for the sake of Allah. And from the most important of them, yani loving and hating for the sake of Allah. From the most important of them is yani al-ikhlas, yani al-tawakkul, khawf, yani having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear of the punishment of Allah, dependence, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerity for the sake of Allah. These are from the actions of the heart, and the actions of the heart are the greatest actions of the human being, the actions of the heart. Because yani whatever actions a person does, if it's not there in the heart, yani the source of it, if it's not springing from the heart sincerely with ikhlas for the sake of Allah, there's no benefit to it. The last question mentioned at the dalil, yani proof from the Quran, 8th surah, Surah Al-Anfal, 2nd, 3rd and 4th ayat, which shows that al-Iman is a higher level of the deen than al-Islam, meaning that yani Iman is, when they are mentioned together, Islam and Iman, then Iman, yani it is more exclusive than Islam. Islam is general, including everybody who has submitted or surrendered, even outwardly. But Iman, yani is a higher level, a more exclusive group of people, and Allah mentions that in Surah Al-Anfal and in other places. The Shaykh mentioned this, these ayats, and let's try to review them quickly. Naam. Mustafa. إذا ذكر الله
وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين
يقيمون الصلاة
ومما رزقناهم أولئك هم المفلحون الحق.
نعم, that's the end of what the Shaykh mentioned. The ayat go on to say لهم درجات عند ربهم وَمَغْفِرَتُهُمْ رِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Yani these ayat, the Shaykh mentioned here, of yani great importance, where Allah is إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. He's saying that definitely, certainly, surely the believers are only these people. إِنَّمَا يعني it's حصر, it's exclusive to these people. Those who, when Allah is mentioned, their hearts tremble in fear. And when his ayat are recited, it increases them in iman. And some of the scholars said that Allah mentioned the matters of the heart first because they are more important. And then he said, and those who establish the prayer, and those who give from that which he has provided for them, yani give in charity, these are the believers. In truth, the real believers. These are real believers. Naam. And they have degrees with their Rabb and provisions, yani noble provisions, forgiveness and noble provisions. Naam. And the Shaykh also ended by saying, and so, yani, with this in mind, this any distinctive definition of Islam and Iman, he said, then in that case, since Iman is a high level and more exclusive, every mu'min is a Muslim, but not the opposite. Not every Muslim is a mu'min. This doesn't mean that not every Muslim doesn't have Iman. It means that not every Muslim has that level of Iman that Allah is talking about in this ayah. Because if a person doesn't have Iman, then they are not really a Muslim. Yani, if they are professing and acting, then they are yani, hypocrite, a munafiq. Okay, let's quickly go into yani, what the topic that we want to talk about today, which is the second part. Yani, what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he entitles yani, Fasl fi ziyadat al-imani wa nuqsanihi. في زيادة الإيمان ونقصانه يعني concerning the increase of Iman, that Iman increases, and the decrease of Iman, يعني that it also decreases. And we alluded to this يعني in Manhaj, the Shaykh alluded to it briefly, and here we're going to also allude to it briefly, but except يعني the Shaykh is going to يعني add to it now something that we didn't talk about in the previous session, and that is يعني what is the position of Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah concerning increase and decrease of Iman, as well as the people who oppose Ahlul Sunnah concerning this, what is their position or their sayings, and how do we refute them? So first he begins by saying min usul Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, yani from the fundamentals, the foundations of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and al iman yazidu wa yanqus, yani not only do we say that iman is i'tiqadun and qawlun and amalun, but also it's part of our definition of iman that we say and al-iman yazidu wa yanqus. That iman does increase and it does decrease. It increases by acts of obedience and it decreases by acts of disobedience, and so on. فَقَدْ دَلَّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ وَالسُّنَّةِ. Indeed, the book and the sunnah, the Quran and the sunnah, both point to this reality that iman increases and iman decreases. وَمِنْ أَدِلَّكَ الْكِتَابُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَا إِيمَانِهِمْ. Yani from the evidences, from the book, from the Quran, is the saying of Allah the Most High. لِيَزْدَادُوا. Yani the beginning of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That Allah, He is the one who sent down a sakina, tranquility, in the hearts of the believers, لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا. So that they would be increased in iman, مَا إِيمَانِهِمْ. Along with the iman that they already had, that they will have an increase in iman. This is a clear indication, and the ayats from the Quran that prove this are many. We mentioned some of them yani previously when we were discussing Minhaj. لِيَزْدَادُوا إِيمَانًا مَا إِيمَانِهِمْ. Yani Surah Al-Fath, 48th Surah, 4th Ayat. Yani so that the believers who already have iman, they will be increased in iman. So iman definitely increases. وَمِنْ أَدِلَّةِ السُّنَّةِ قَوْلُهُ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fin nisa'i, yani concerning the women. From the evidences from the sunnah about increase and decrease of iman is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a lengthy hadith concerning the women. He said, ma ra'aytu min naqisati aqlin wa deenin adhaba li lubbi ar-rajuli al-hazimi min ihda kunna. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I haven't seen from amongst those people who are naqifat aqlin wa deenin, who have some deficiency, yani, in their aql and also some deficiency in their deen. He's talking about the women. He said, I didn't see from amongst those who have some deficiency. And we don't have time to explain this hadith in detail tonight, but obviously, yani, some people are going to take offense to, yani, the apparent meaning of this hadith without understanding its meaning. Yani, the apparent meaning. They're going to take some offense to it? Maybe. But, yani, we don't have time to go into it in detail tonight, but I'll try to at least allude to some of its meaning. The Prophet ﷺ said, and this is a reality, I mean, it's just a reality, مَا رَأَيْتُ, and this doesn't mean that the Prophet ﷺ is degrading women. And this is not something that's absolute about every single woman. Rather, it's a general statement. And certainly, yani, there are plenty of exceptions to it. Plenty of exceptions to it. In reality, the Prophet ﷺ is not saying this is absolutely, he's saying, مَا رَأَيْتُ مِن نَاقِسَاتِ, I didn't see from amongst some of those people who have some deficiency in their aql. Doesn't mean that they are, yani, insane or something like that. It means that in the mental processes there's something there. Okay, and it's also, yani, alluded to in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it. I didn't see from amongst those people those who are, yani, someone who is what? Ashaddu ibhaban, who is more stronger in taking away the lub, yani, the intellect of a resolute, yani, judicious, prudent, discreet man. Yani, a man who's basically really, yani, capable of functioning well. He's firm, resolute, yani, judicious, yani, he's prudent. And then here comes a woman taking his mind away. That's a fact. He said, I didn't see anyone doing this like you, yani, min ihda kunna, like some women are able to do. To take a man who can think, who's intelligent, and take his mind away. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just a reality that the Prophet ﷺ is saying. Okay, the point of this hadith though, by the way, this is how the Shaykh mentioned the hadith, but in that hadith, some of the women, they say, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa nuqsanu deenina? What is this, yani, deficiency in our deen? What is this deficiency in our, yani, aql? And the Prophet ﷺ explained it. I want to just look quickly at this hadith, although I don't want to take too much time with it because, yani, we don't have a lot of time. But the hadith is mentioned, amongst others, is mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And Al-Imam An-Nawwi, rahimahullah, yani, has some commentary concerning this hadith. I'll just look at it briefly. So, in this hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ said that, some women said to him, Ya Rasulullah, مَا نُقْصَانُ الْعَقْلِ وَالدِّينِ, what is this deficiency in the intellect, the aql, and in the deen? قَالَ أما نقصان العقل, as far as the, what is meant by the deficiency in aql, he said, فشهادة امرأتين تعدل شهادة رجل واحد. It is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that if you need witnesses, two witnesses, but you don't find two men, then one man and two women. That's what Allah said in the Quran. So the Prophet said, what is meant by نقصان العقل doesn't mean that she's crazy, she's mentally retarded or something. No. It just means that Allah, in this particular area, has said that in terms of testimony, testifying to things in general. Yani, if you have to bring two witnesses and you can't find two men, you can bring one man, and you should bring two women. Yani, the testimony of two women is equal to the testimony of one man. That's it. In any other area, we're not even talking about that. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about. فَهَذَا نُقْسَانَ الْعَقْلِ, this is what is meant by the deficiency in the intellect. وَتَمْكُثُ لَيَالِي مَا تُصَلِّي وَتُفْتِرْ فِي رَمَضَانِ فَهَذَا نُقْسَانَ الدِّينِ, and you spend nights, or as some of the scholars explain, mean nights and days in which you didn't pray. And you also, yani, do not fast some days in Ramadan. Yani, due to hayd, due to the menses, which is not a fault of the woman, or any kind of way to degrade them or look down on them. This is what Allah, Allah has created them. But that's a reality, that there are days in the month in which they don't pray, and there are days in Ramadan in which they don't fast. فَهَذَا نُقْصَانَ الدِّينِ, and this is what is meant by the deficiency in deen. Doesn't mean that she's not as religious as a man. Certainly there are plenty of women who are more religious than plenty of men. But nonetheless, this is part of the deen, and there's a deficiency in the deen in that they are not able to pray at sometimes. So the man is praying when they are not praying, and the man is fasting when they are not fasting. Yani, in this general sense. Yeah, and some of the scholars also mentioned, Nawawi mentions from some of the scholars that they said that the meaning, the reason why yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the testimony of two women is equal to the testimony of one man, and that is so that if one of them were to forget, one of the women were to forget, then the other one will remind her. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that yani there are two of them that can help each other. So he has reduced, lessened the burden on the women. Yani, as some said, due to yani the general place of the women in society is in the home, taking care of the family and the children. And the man is usually out, going out, working. And maybe in the Western society today, but historically and generally in societies around the world, woman is at home and the men go out, and therefore and the man has a different experience than the women, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has lightened the burden on them. And here I want to mention what Imam Nawawi says here, very important point. He says some people might find some difficulty or some problem with the meaning of this hadith. And he makes a statement here which I want us to pay attention to in reference to our topic. He says, فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ yani in reference to this hadith, right? نُقْصَانْ عَقْلٍ وَدِينٍ. What is meant by deen? Because the scholars are using this hadith as what? As a proof of decreasing iman. But the hadith, the Prophet didn't say iman. He said deen. Imam Nawawi said, فَإِنَّ الدِّينَ وَالْإِيمَانَ وَالْإِسْلَامَ مُشْتَرِكَةٌ فِي مَعْنَى وَاحِدٍ. That these words, deen and Islam and iman, that they share one meaning. They share one meaning. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, yani, the defect in the aql and the deen, then the deen here means also iman. Because this, what he mentioned about prayers and about fasting is part of iman. Because iman is what? It's not just conviction in the heart. It's also speech on the tongue and actions. So those actions are part of iman. So when the scholars use this hadith, somebody might say, but it doesn't say anything about yani deficiency in iman. It says deen. Naam, and deen is iman. And he also said, and this we have mentioned previously in many places, and he said also note that at ta'at, acts of obedience to samma iman and wa deenan. That acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are also called iman. And they're also called deen. So if this is confirmed, then we came to know that whoever has done a lot, yani man kathurat ibadatuhu zada imanuhu wa deenuhu. So whoever did a lot of acts of worship, then his iman is increased by that. And his deen is increased by that. وَمَن نَقَصَتْ عِبَادَتُهُ نَقَصَ دِينُهُ. And whoever has, yani, fallen short, yani, decreased in their acts of worship, then this is also a decrease in their deen. So this is some of what was mentioned concerning this, and actually, yani, it's a lot more discussion, but yani, for the sake of time. That's from the Sharh of Imam Muslim, Sharh of Sahih Muslim by Imam Nawawi. Yani it's probably the most famous Sharh of Sahih Muslim by Imam Nawawi, rahimahullah. So he mentions that under this particular hadith. Okay, so here, yani we're going to go back to the beginning a little bit. Yani we're talking about what? Increase of iman and decrease of iman. And the Shaykh mentioned from the Quran, the ayat, so that the believers, so that they will be increased in their iman along with the iman that they already had. And he mentioned from the Sunnah this hadith, yani where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions yani deficiency in aql and deen. So the Shaykh, he says, so in this ayat is ithbat ziyadat al iman. In the ayat there is confirmation that there is increase of iman, that iman does increase. Wa fil hadith is ithbat naqs al deen. And in the hadith there is the confirmation of decrease in the deen. And we mean here decrease in deen, decrease in iman. And then the Shaykh mentions the principle that we mentioned in Minhaj. He words it a little bit different here, the same principle. وَكُلُّ نَصٍ يَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ الدَّلَالَةَ عَلَى نَقْصِهِ وَبِالْعَكْسِ. Yani every textual evidence which points to the reality of increase of iman, فَإِنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ, then it contains within it الدَّلَالَةَ, an indication of its, of iman's yani decrease as well. Yani every textual proof which directly points to increase of iman contains within it also yani an indication of its decrease. And the opposite is also true. Every textual evidence that indicates decrease of iman contains within it an indication of increase. Why is that? لأن الزيادة والنقص متلازمان. And that is because increasing and decreasing are متلازمان, inseparable. متلازمان, they're inseparable. There can be nothing in which there's increase except there's also decrease. There can be nothing in which يعني it decreases except it also has the then potential to increase. لا يعقل أحدهما بدون الآخر. It is not يعني possible to rationalize that there be one of them without the other. يعني increase without decrease or decrease without increase. The Shaykh mentioned this يعني previously as the principle of الدرورة العقلية. يعني that it is by rational necessity that if something has the potential to increase, it also has the potential to decrease and the opposite. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ لَفْظَ الزِّيَادَ. After this he mentions يعني these two evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah and this principle. يعني if there's any evidence for increase, it's also evidence for decrease. If there's any evidence for decrease, it's also evidence for increase. وَقَدْ ثَبَتَ لَفْظَ الزِّيَادَ وَالنَّقْصِ مِنْهُ عَنِ السَّحَابَ. And this يعني expression, using the expression of increase of iman and decrease, has been confirmed from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa radiyallahu anhum. And this is a third proof for what? The reality, the truth of increase and decrease of iman. This was the position of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And then the Shaykh says, which is critically important, وَلَمْ يُعْرَفْ مِنْهُمْ مُخَالِفٌ فِيهِ. And we don't know, it is not known that there was anyone from amongst the Sahaba who had a different view than this. Ijma' al-Sahaba. That's a strong proof right there. The Sahaba, they said this, and it's not known that there was anyone from amongst them who had a different view concerning this. How then can somebody come after them and say something different? And then the Shaykh goes on to say, وَجَمْهُورَ السَّلَفْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. And the majority of the Salaf, of the early predecessors of the Muslims, from amongst Sahaba and Tabi'in and those generations who followed them, they held this view. Qala ibn Abdul Barr. And Ibn Abdul Barr, the great hadith scholar and scholar of Maliki Madhab, Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah, he said, وَعَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصْ جَمَعَةُ أَهْلِ الْآثَارِ وَالْفُقَهَا أَهْلُ الْفِتْيَا فِي الْأَمْصَارِ. That on this view, that iman increases and decreases, upon this view is the jama'ah of Ahl al-Athar, yani the people of narrations, the people of hadith, the scholars of hadith, as well as the scholars of fiqh, the people who are giving legal rulings in the lands, fil amsar, yani in the lands of the Muslims. The people, the scholars of hadith and the scholars of jurisprudence. This is the view of the scholars of Islam, the people of Sunnah. And it has been mentioned from Imam Malik, rahimahullah, riwayatain, two narrations concerning this issue, and that is that what? Concerning the absolute, using the expression of decrease of iman. Two narrations came from Imam Malik. One of them, at-tawakuf. Yani, that in some narrations reported from him, that he held back from stating a position concerning this, about decrease of iman. And in the second report that came, about Imam Malik, muwafaqat al-jama'ah, that he was in agreement with what, the scholars of Sunnah said concerning decrease of iman. Okay, this is what the Shaykh says concerning this. And the second part of what he talks about here, which we didn't talk about at all previously, and that is خالف في هذا العصر طائفتان. يعني the two groups differed with the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning this particular issue of increase and decrease of iman. In the explanation of Aqeelah Wasatiyah, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says خالف أهل السنة في هذا طائفتان بدعيتان متطرفتان. He gave them a different description. He said two groups, extreme groups, groups of innovation, differing with the Ahl Sunnah concerning this matter. Those two groups, one of them, he said, is Al-Murji'ah, Al-Khalisa. Yani the pure murji'a. Here, yani the meaning of this is that there's different groups of murji'a. There's not one group. Okay? Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said that the murji'a are four groups. Some other scholars said three groups. In any case, they are not. There's no disagreement, except that in four groups he mentioned also the Jahmiya, yani who had a completely different view of irja. That is, they said that iman is just yani ma'rifa, just a person knows that Allah exists. That's iman. The rest of the murji'a said that is confirmation in the heart or on the tongue or on the heart and the tongue without actions. Yani what they're in agreement upon is that iman doesn't include actions. So there are some from the Murji'a who said that iman is just speech on the tongue, even if you don't believe it in the heart. Huh? They're like hypocrites. They said on the tongue, they don't believe in the heart. Naam. That's the view of one group of the Murji'a. Another group of them said, yani the Asha'ira. They said that it is just yani iqrar al-qalb. It's just conviction, yani itiqad in the heart. And another group amongst them, yani they said that it is conviction in the heart, and it is also speech on the tongue. But actions are not a part of iman, rather they are a condition, a shart, for the perfection of iman, or for the validity of iman. Shart al-siha, yani, or shart al-kamal. Anyway, these are groups of the murji'a. What we're talking about tonight is just the main group of murji'a, yani the main idea of the murji'a, what? That they said actions are not part of iman.
Yani, take you out of holy Islam.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And there are different levels, right? So, and this is a question that requires some further discussion. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, he mentions in some fatwa concerning this, which we can go back and look at, I don't have in front of me. But the meaning of what he said is that if a person is following what they have been told without really knowing, then they should be given the proofs. Yani we don't just declare somebody to be out of Islam. Because the takfir of the specific individual is something that is the right of the ulama. That's not for people to say this person went out of Islam because they said this or they did that or whatever. We don't do that. Okay, he said that if they didn't know, they're just following what they've been told, then they have to be explained, they have to be given proofs so that they can come to know. Anyway, this issue of takfir is a dangerous issue that we should be careful about, and we should know that there are shurut and there are mawani'a that yani conditions that have to be fulfilled before a person can be declared to be a kafir by scholars. And there are mawani'a, things that have to be absent, because if they are present, they prevent someone from being declared to be a kafir, no matter whatever they said or did. So these are things that we have to look at. It's a big topic, and it's not for our discussion tonight. But in any case, yani, we should be careful about declaring somebody to be a kafir. And there's no benefit in you or me saying this person is a kafir, that person is a kafir. Unless they're a Christian or a Jew or a pagan, a Hindu or something, that's different. But a person who claims to be a Muslim, for us to say that this person is a kafir, why? What is the benefit for me to say that? It's not my responsibility. It's not my right. And it certainly would not be in my interest to do so, even if I were right. خَالَفَ فِي هَذَا الْعَصُ طَائِفَةً. I don't know if I'll be able to read the expanded commentary of Sheikh Uthaymeen concerning this particular, yani the people who deviated, but in any case, yani perhaps Allah may allow us to mention something of it. But otherwise, let's just read what he says here. He said two groups, yani differed, opposed the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning Al-Iman. One of them was the Murji' Al-Khalisa, and the other one was the Wa'idiyya, yani min al-Mu'tazila wal-Khawarij. As far as the first of them, the Murji'a, the pure people of Irja, yani meaning the people who separated actions from iman. They said actions are not a part of iman. He said, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ إِنَّ الْإِيمَانِ إِقْرَارُ الْقَلْبِ وَزَعَمُوا أَنَّ إِقْرَارُ الْقَلْبِ لَا يَتَفَاوَتُ فَالْفَاسِقْ وَالْعَدْلِ عِنْدَهُمْ سَوَاءٌ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. They said, one, that iman is only yani iqrar al-qalb, yani the confirmation, the affirmation, the conviction that's in the heart. That's iman. Has nothing to do with speech and actions. وَزَعْمُوا أَنَ الْإِقْرَارُ الْقَلْبِ لَا يَتَفَاوَتُ. And they also claimed falsely that this confirmation in the heart, لَا يَتَفَاوَتُ. It doesn't differ from yani one person to another, from one time to another. It doesn't increase and decrease. It doesn't go, if you have it, you have it. If you don't, you don't. to them, the fasiq, disobedient, sinful person, and the just, upright person, is the same in iman. The iman is the same. Which is almost unbelievable, right? How could it be? The second group, the wa'idiyya, and the Shaykh Uthaymeen in Wasatiyah, he explains what is meant by wa'idiyya. I don't know if we'll get to read the comments, but he said that the meaning of wa'idiyya is that these people emphasize ahkam al-wa'id. Yani, the rulings concerning the threats of Allah. Allah said if a person does this, if a person did this, and so on, what their punishment would be, hellfire, whatever. They emphasize this and forgot about the wa'ad of Allah. That Allah promised people reward, and Allah promised pardon and forgiveness and so on. And that, they just threw to the side. They only deal with what? If a person did this, they go into hellfire. Khalas, end of the discussion. That's what he means by the wa'idiyya. And there are two groups he mentioned here, the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. They are those who أخرجوا أهل الكبائر من الإيمان. They said that the people who commit major sins, are they go out of iman. And they're no longer believers. They're no longer Muslims. If a person commits a major sin, it took them out of Islam. And there are a lot of proofs refuting this. They also said, وَقَالُوا إِنَّ الْإِيمَانِ إِمَّا أَن يُوجَدْ كُلُّهُ وَإِمَّا أَن يَعْدَمْ كُلُّهُ. They said that iman is either present, completely, or it is absent completely. You either have iman or you don't have it. Okay, there's no levels of iman, increasing, decreasing, weak iman, strong iman, khalas. You have iman, that's it. You don't have iman, you don't have it. Simple as that. وَمَنَعُوا مِنْ تَفَاضُلِهِ تَفَاضُلِهِ. They said, they don't allow that there can be any, what variation or surpassing or excelling. Some people iman being greater than others. Like the iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu being greater than the rest of the companions. And the iman of the Prophet, the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, iman being greater than all of the people. And so on like this. Like they don't accept this. You have iman or you don't have it, khalas, it's all the same. Everybody is equal in it. These are the two groups. The Shaykh says, both of these groups are refuted. بِالسَّمْعِ وَالْعَقْلِ. By some, meaning the revelation, text from the revelation, Quran and Sunnah, and by the aql, by the intellect or rational reasoning. They're refuted by both revelation and rational thinking. أَمَّا السَّمْ فَقَدْ تَقَدِّمَ النُّسُوسِ فِي النُّسُوسِ مَا دَلَّ عَلَى إِثْبَاتِ زِيَادَةِ الْإِيمَانِ وَنَقْصِهِ. As far as the revelation, what came in the revelation that refutes them, that proves the affirmation of increase and decrease of iman, we already mentioned this previously. We mentioned it last week. Some of the evidences, right, that prove increase and decrease of iman. And he's going to talk about it a little bit, further in reference to what? The rational thinking. وَأَمَّا الْعَقْلِ فَنَقُولُ لِلْمُرْجِعَ. Okay, what do we say to the murji'a? We say, you're saying, your speech, your view, that iman is only the confirmation or affirmation of the heart, and that this affirmation in the heart doesn't vary. There's no increase or decrease in it. That is only affirmation in the heart. It doesn't include speech and action, and that affirmation in the heart, there's no variation in it. It doesn't increase or decrease. He said, this is mamnu'un من المقدمتين جميعا. And here, the English translation came with a different meaning altogether. I don't know how, but it has nothing to do with what it said here. I just want to say what the Shaykh said here is ممنوع من المقدمتين جميعا, means that these two positions, these two premises, that iman is only affirmation in the heart and that it doesn't vary, it doesn't increase or decrease. He said ممنوع من المقدمتين, both of these premises are rejected, both of them. That's the meaning here. Both of these are rejected. Neither one of them are correct. أَمَّا الْمُقَدِّمَةُ الْأُولَى. So as far as the first muqaddimah, the first premise, that is that iman is only the conviction in the heart. فَتَخْصِيصُكُمْ الْإِيمَانِ بِإِقْرَارِ الْقَلْبِ مُخَالِفٌ لِمَا دَلَّ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مِنْ دُخُولِ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. We talked about this before. He said that you making the iman to be exclusively just the confirmation in the heart is مُخَالِفٌ. This is in contradiction to what the book and the sunnah has pointed to. That is, that speech and action are a part of Iman. And your claim that it's limited just to the confirmation or the affirmation or the conviction in the heart, yani, is in contradiction to what the Quran and Sunnah clearly indicate of speech and action being part of Iman. We talked about that last week. Yani, we talked about yani, the proofs that speech and action are part of Iman. أما المقدمة الثانية, as far as your second premise, the second premise is what? That Iman, this Iman which is conviction in the heart, it doesn't vary. Doesn't increase, there's no yani increase or decrease in it. He says, as far as this premise, then you're saying that إقرار القلب لا يتفاوت, that it doesn't vary, it doesn't differ yani from one person to another, from one time to another in the same person. Yani this premise is مخالفٌ للحسي, yani it's in contradiction to what we experience with our senses. For indeed, it is well known for every person that the affirmation, the conviction in the heart, it follows knowledge. Yani it is in accordance with, is subject to knowledge. Yani the conviction that a person has in their heart is based on knowledge, or the absence of it, or the amount of it. It's based upon knowledge. The person's strong conviction or weak conviction is due to strong knowledge of the affair or weak knowledge of it. He said this is well known, that the person's conviction is based upon, yani is subject to knowledge. وَلَا رَيْبَ أَنَّ الْعِلْمُ يَتَفَاوَتُ, and knowledge yani varies in accordance with the ways to in which it came to a person. So the information that came from one person doesn't yani benefit like the information that came from two people. It doesn't give you the same strength yani of certainty. When two people came, it's stronger than when one person came saying the same thing, and so on. وَحَكَذَا, meaning three people more than one person, 5, 10 people more than two people, and so on. Yani meaning that if the news of an event came to you from one person, you might or might not believe it. But if it came from 10, 50, 100, then it becomes stronger. Your conviction in that thing becomes stronger because so many people are coming saying the same thing. متواتر, like متواتر. وما أدركه الإنسان بالخبر لا يساوي في العلم ما أدركه بالمشاهدة. And likewise, not only that, the number of the routes or the ways to which the information came to you strengthens your certainty about it, but also what a person came to know by being informed is not equal to what they came to know by actually witnessing it themselves. It's not the same. Somebody informed you of something, they might be a very truthful person that you know well and you believe them, but if you saw it yourself, then your yani conviction, your certainty is going to be greater than that a trustworthy person came and told you that. I saw this with my own eyes. That's why a person says, I saw with my own eyes. I saw him with my own eyes. I saw this. Nobody told me this. You might doubt this, what somebody told you, but I don't doubt what I saw with my own eyes. Except somebody would tell you that don't believe what you see. Believe what I tell you. They got a madman saying that right now. He says, don't believe what you saw. You saw it in real life. Don't believe it. I'm telling you something different. Believe me. And people are believing that. 50% of the American people believe something contrary to what they saw with their own eyes. Contrary to what they heard with their own ears. Because somebody told them, it's not what you saw, it's not what you heard, it's what I'm telling you. That's what the reality is. The alternative reality. Yani the false world, the fairy tale world. And people are believing that. Don't sidetrack me, please. We're already sidetracked enough. So, and the Sheikh is saying here what? فَالْيَقِينَ دَرَجَاتْ مُتَفَاوِتَ. So certainty is of different levels. It's not all the same, right? The scholars of the Sunnah, as the Shaykh mentioned in another place, they said there's ilm al-yaqeen, and there's ayn al-yaqeen, and there's haqq al-yaqeen. And this is mentioned in Surah Takathur and Surah Al-Haqqa, yani 51st ayah. Yani that yaqeen, certainty, is not one level. There's yani ilm al-yaqeen, yani certainty that came from information, knowledge that came to you. And then there's ayn al-yaqeen, that a person saw, and then there's haqq al-yaqeen, yani what somebody has experienced. The Shaykh said, so, the certainty is of different levels, and therefore the conviction in the heart that's based on knowledge, depending on how the knowledge came to you, by various people, many people, one person or more, that it came to you from information or came to you by witnessing yourself, the certainty is going to differ Yani it's not going to be the same. So there's different levels of certainty, therefore there's different levels of conviction in the heart. So the iqrar al-qalb is not the same for everybody. Some people's conviction is stronger than others. And this, the Shaykh says, تفاوت الناس في اليقين أمر معلوم. This is something, yani, that the certainty of one person from another, yani, is not going to be on the same level. Some people are going to excel or surpass others in the level of their certainty. This is something well known. Rather, the Shaykh said, even the single person might find within their self at certain times or circumstances or conditions that their certainty will be stronger than at other times or situations or circumstances. One person's certainty at a certain time may be greater or lesser than another time, on a certain circumstance may be greater or lesser than another time. This is something that is well known. So we say then to them, I know the time is against us now. Allahumma musta'an. And we're running out of time. So we say, كَيْفَ يَصِحُّ لِعَاقِلْ أَنْ يَحْكُمْ بِتَسَاوِي رَجُلَيْنِ فِي الْإِيمَانِ. How can it be correct for an intelligent person, a rational person, to judge that two people are equal in iman, while one of them is مُثَابِرٌ عَلَى طَعَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَرْضِهَا وَنَقْلِهَا مُتَبَاعِدْ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. Yani one of them is a person who is constantly, persistently engaged in acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing obligatory duties and extra voluntary duties, and is distancing themselves far from that which Allah has made haram. And even if a sin suddenly, unexpectedly overcame them, they committed something, then they hastened to leave it and to repent from it. That's one person. The second one is مُضَيِّعُ لِمَا عَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. This one has wasted, yani has neglected everything that Allah has made obligatory upon him, and has dived into that which Allah has made haram, except that they didn't go so far as to do that which takes them out of Islam. But yani they did everything up until that point. How can we judge that this one and that one are equal in iman? This is a rational argument the Shaykh is making now, yani that anybody can look at and see that these two people cannot be equal in iman. This is how we argue with the Murji'ah, yani on their two premises, that iman is only iqrar in the heart, yani conviction in the heart, and that there's no variance in it, there's no differing, there's no increase or decrease, that everybody who has iman is equal. أما الوعيدية, as far as the وعيدية, and he means by them the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij. We say to them, your statement or your saying or your view that فاعل الكبيرة خارج من الإيمان مخالف لما دل عليه الكتاب والسنة. That your view or your position or your statement that the one who commits a major sin goes out of iman, this is in contradiction to what the book and the sunnah have pointed to. فإذا تبين ذلك فكيف نحكم بتساوي رجلين في الإيمان. So if this is a fact, yani, then we go on to say what? If this became clear to us, then how can we judge or rule that two people, two men or two people are equal in iman when one of them is muqtasidun, fa'il lilwajibat, tarik lilmuharramat? Yani one of these two people, now we're talking to the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, yani who say that what? That if a person commits a major sin, then they went out of Islam. Yani the Khawarij saying that they went out of Islam and entered into kufr. And the Mu'tazila saying they went out of Islam, but they didn't enter into kufr. How? The Mu'tazila say they went out of Islam. The one who commits a major sin goes out of Islam, but they didn't say he went into kufr. They differed from the Khawarij on this point. They both agree, and in the end, that the person who commits the major sin is going to be in the hellfire eternally. They will not get out. Yani because Allah threatened that if a person does this, they will be in the hell. They claimed. And therefore, if Allah puts them in the hell, He can't take them out. So that means anybody who commits a major sin, khalas, they're going to be in hell forever and they can't get out. They differed though about what? In this world, what is the ruling concerning the fa'il al-kabira? What is his condition? The Khawarij say he went into kufr. He went out of iman, out of Islam, and he entered into kufr. And the Mu'tazila said something that nobody else said. They're the only ones who hold this view. That is, huwa fi manzilatin baina manzilatain. Yani he's not in iman and he's not in kufr. he is in a station that's between two stations, yani between iman and kufr. No, even the other deviants, they didn't say anything like this. They might tell you they got it by themselves. The Shaykh talks about this in detail in Wasatiyah, but no time, right? So anyway, he said what? This is the argument to the Khawarij and Mu'tazila, that their statement that the person who commits a major sin goes out of iman, yani is clearly contrary to the book and the sunnah, and their statement that two people are equal in their iman, even though one of them is muqtasid, meaning the one who does the obligatory duties and avoids the haram things. And as Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'adi said in his tafsir of the ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha 35:32, that tafsir is very beneficial and beautiful. Yani he says that they might also yani do some of the mustahab things, or they might not, and they might yani engage in some makruh things, or they might not. But what's clear about the muqtasid, yani the person who's in the moderate position, is that he fulfills the obligatory duties and he avoids the haram things. But as far as the mustahabbat and the makruhat, yani then he might fall short in that. He's muqtasid. This first person is muqtasid. The second person is zalim li nafsi. This also came in the same ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha 35:32, where Allah describes the people who inherited the book from amongst his ibad. And he said that some of them are zalimun li nafsi. Wa minhum, yani some of them are muqtasidun. Wa minhum, yani sabikun bil khayrati bi idhnillah. Some of them are those who are ahead of everyone else, yani in doing good deeds. Allah is describing the believers, the people who will be in paradise in the next life, yani from amongst his servants, whom he has given as inheritance the book. But they are not on the same level. He said some of them are zalim li nafsi. Yani he's engaging in some haram and he's fulfill some obligatory duties. And some of them are muqtasid. He's not doing any haram and he is fulfilling all the obligatory, they're not the same. And some of them are sabiqun khayrat, doing all the obligatory duties, mustahab, yani avoiding the haram, avoiding the makruh, all of that. These are people who are on different levels. All of them get the inheritance of the book and all of them will be in the paradise. Yani the one who wronged his own self, zalim li nafsi, Allah will forgive him and grant him mercy. And the one who is muqtasid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him an easy, yani hisab, yaseer. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described that in a hadith, which is very important, yani how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people who have the easy reckoning, how Allah will be, yani how He will deal with them. And then he said, and those who are sabiqun. So he said, so the Shaykh is saying here, how can you people, Khawarij and Mu'tazila, how can you judge that these two people are the same? One of them is muqtasid, and he's doing the obligatory duties, and he's avoiding the haram. And the other one is zalim li nafsi, he is committing the things that Allah has made haram. And he is leaving off the things that Allah has made obligatory, except that he didn't go to the point of doing that which takes him out of Islam. Except he didn't go to that point. But he's doing a lot of haram, and he's failing to do obligatory duties. How can these two people be equal? How can you judge them to be equal? And then the Shaykh, he closes with this statement. We have to stop here. And maybe next week, inshallah, we'll like give a few more details of this topic before we go to the next topic. He said, and we also say, Thaniyan, secondly, we say to the Khawarij and Mu'tazila, let's say for the sake of argument, that the one who commits the major sin goes out of iman. Let's say for the sake of argument. Like, okay, we'll give you that one, right? Let's take it a step further and ask you, كيف يمكن أن نحكم على رجلين بتساويهما في الإيمان أحدهما مقتصد والآخر سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله. يعني the ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. How can we judge two people to be equal in iman when one of them is muqtasid, yani doing the obligatory duties and avoiding the haram, but not necessarily going the extra distance of also doing the things that are mustahab, yani loved by Allah, and avoiding not only the haram but also avoiding things that are makruh. How can we say that they are equal? This is the argument that the Shaykh makes against them. And next week, inshallah, we're going to take this third part, which is ziyadat al-iman wa asbabihi, yani the causes for increase of iman and the causes for decrease of iman. I don't know if anybody has a question. We might take one question or something that's not clear to us. If something is not clear, inshallah, I'll send to the class by email some of the books and references that I would suggest that you must read if you really want to know more about this topic of iman, especially increase and decrease of iman. There are some beautiful writings that I want you to go back and read. When you read them, you'll find that, mashallah, it will expand your knowledge and your comprehension of this subject, and it will help you. It will help you in a great way to deal with this topic in real life, to and know your position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam.
The Mu'tazila say one of the major sins is out of Islam.
The Mu'tazila say that the person who commits a major sin goes out of Iman, but he doesn't enter into kufr. Yani he's in between, in some in between stage, hanging in between Iman and kufr. But in any case, no problem. That's just theoretical difference. In reality, the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, both are the same. Because what both of them say, in the next life, that person is going to be in the hellfire eternally. Because Allah threatened that if you do this, I'm going to punish you in the hellfire, so he has to do it, they said. And if Allah puts you in the hellfire, he can't take you out of it. And even though we know that from the Aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the wa'ad and the wa'id, that when Allah promises to give you some reward for something, he will never break his promise. But when Allah threatens with punishment, he might forgive. He might pardon and forgive. He can do that for whoever he wills, except the person who dies on shirk. Naam. What's your name, Akhi?
Abdul Sabur.
Abdul Sabur. Naam. Walaikum salam.
So when Imam and Islam is mentioned together,
naam,
they are different.
Separate meaning. Naam.
And when they are mentioned separately, they are the same.
They have the same meaning. The whole of the deen of Allah. Jazakallah khair. Naam. What's your name, brother? Huh? Abdul Hakim. I know Abdul Hakim, but I didn't see you for a long time. Abdul Hakim. They are saying, they are saying. Of course, all of what they are saying is false, right? No. All of it is false. No. They are saying the reason why the Ya'ani Fa'al al Kabira will be eternally in the hellfire, they say, because Allah threatened the person who does this, he's going to be in the hellfire. So Allah must put them in the hellfire. And then they went further to say, so if Allah puts them in the hellfire, they can't come out. And they bring some ayat that is revealed in reference to the kuffar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said every time they want to come out, they will be told to get back in. They will not be released. They will not get out.
Because they consider them to be kuffar. Some of the...
Yeah. So they applied such ayat that the kuffar, person who dies in kufr, would not get out of the hellfire. They applied that to these people who are not kuffar.
They contradict themselves.
They contradict everything. They contradict the Quran, the Sunnah themselves, the other deviants. They're just full of contradiction. Now, well, a person can come back into Islam, right, after they left Islam, right? Mm-hmm. If a person left Islam, can they, repent and enter back into Islam again? No, they can. They're alive. And if a person lives, we believe that if a person commits a sin, they can repent. If a person went out of Islam by something that they did, that is from the things that actually take a person out of Islam. Because there are things that a person can do that take you out of Islam. The nawaqid of Islam, that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul-Wahhab mentioned in a book, the nawaqid of Islam, the most common of them and the most dangerous of them, he mentioned in a single book, in a small essay. The things that take a person out of Islam completely, they're no longer Muslim. And that person has to re-enter into Islam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. Inshallah, I'm going to send you some references. Whoever can get hold of any of those books, some of them are available, some of them may not be. Please try to get them and read further on this topic. بارك الله فيكم.